Most years when we come together on this Sunday, we celebrate Palm Sunday. But today, I call upon you to focus upon the Passion of our Lord. Thus, we have the red paraments, which you only get to wear or use four times a year. So I wanted to wear my robe and wear my red stole. The Passion of our Lord. This morning, I want us to hear of the Passion of our Lord in the last 4 days of his life that comes from the four Gospels that I put together in story form. Think about the price he paid for you and me. Think about, if you will, the cross. Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on a hill called the Mount of Olives. And all of the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. And a scribe came up to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." When Jesus was finished saying all of these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priest and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. "But not during the feast," they said, "or there may be a riot at the temple." Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priest and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus, and they were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of leavened bread, on which the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. Jesus said to Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they said. And he replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I am to eat Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were sad, and they began to see him in another way, and they looked at one another. "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And Jesus answered him, "Yes, it is you." Simon Peter motioned to John the disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." And leaning back against Jesus, John asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I dip it into the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread He gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you're about to do, do it. Jesus told him, but no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought that Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Now Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die for you, I will never disown you." And the other disciples said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here, keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father, everything is possible to you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but those you have given me, for they are yours. All that I have is yours, Father. All that you have is mine. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too might be truly sanctified. And my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I are one. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Now when he came back, he again found them sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Now he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cross from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Returning a third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." When he had finished saying this, Jesus left with the disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. And while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. And then Jesus said to the priests, the officers, the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts. You did not lay a hand on me." Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. Then everyone deserted him and fled. They bound him and they brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple was following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went in with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside that door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. And he replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around the fire that they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teachings. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in the synagogue or at the temple, where all of the Jews came together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus had said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is this the way you answer a high priest?" he demanded. "If I had said something wrong, testify as to what I said wrong. But if I speak the truth, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see him in the olive grove tonight?" And again, Peter denied it. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. The chief priest and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, 'Are you not going to answer? What is the testimony of these men that are bringing against you?' And Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, 'I charge you under oath of the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' 'Yes, it is as you say. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming in clouds from heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes and says, 'He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?' 'He is worthy of death,' they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fist. Others slapped him and said, 'Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you?' At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priest and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led to them. And early in the morning, all of the chief priest and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. The whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, 'We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king.' And Pilate asked Jesus, 'Are you king of the Jews?' 'Yes, it is as you say.' Then Pilate announced to the chief priest and the crowd, 'I find no basis for a charge against this man.' But they insisted, 'He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here now.' On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because he had for a long time been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he wanted to see him perform a miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave no answer. The chief priest and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers of the people, and said to them, 'You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him.' When he was accused by the chief priest and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, 'Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?' And Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one of these do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which one of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" And they shouted all the more, "Crucify him, crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that indeed an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility." And the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. And they spit on him. And they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After that, they mocked him. They took off the robe and put on his own clothes. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. A man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on the way into the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha. When they had come to the place called the skull, there they crucified him, along with two criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do you write, King of the Jews? This man only claimed to be King of the Jews." And then the soldiers crucified Jesus. They took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, and the undergarment remaining. The garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided his garments among them and cast lots for his clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are king of the Jews, save yourself. One of the criminals who hung hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him then. He trusts God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, one of the robbers who was crucified with him heaped insults on him. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness covered all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When some of those standing by heard this, they sighed. He's crying out to Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, Ah, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, it is finished, he gave up the spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, Surely he is the Son of God. Now it was the day of preparation. And the next day was to be the special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken to hasten death and the bodies taken down. And the soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then broke the legs of the other. And when they came to Jesus, they found that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing forth a flow of blood and water. These things happened so that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken, and another, they will look on the one they have pierced. It was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus by night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with pieces and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. And at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, a tomb cut out of rock, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Then they rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Our Jesus, who came into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey, ate his last meal in a borrowed room, was finally laid in a borrowed tomb. This is the passion of our Lord.